Want to try a free sample of berry pie?
Oh, yeah, I do. Wait, time to consult the online experts.
One bite will destroy your body.
Stop it!
They don't know your body. Only you do. Cygnos pairs AI with a biosensor so you can track your body's unique responses to food, movement, and more in real time, helping you achieve your health goals. Get $10 off select plans at Cygnos.com, Cygnos.com, with code SPARK. Cygnos.
This is the Hidden Killers podcast with Tony Bruschi and continuing coverage of the case against Karen Reed.
So Reed, then she has her breakdown. And let's talk about getting to that for a moment, because I thought it was really great how they presented the timeline of this. Because in the previous trial, and just even in analyzing the case, I think a lot of times you get the impression that she's screaming the "I hit him" or "Did I hit him?" and "Could I have hit him?" at that moment when they're with the body, which makes sense why someone would be reacting that way. But she's doing this before there's even a body in the snow, or that they know there's a body in the snow. And Jen McCabe's not freaking out. She doesn't think that. Carrie Roberts is saying, why would you say that? Why would you think you hit him? No, you didn't. Let's go figure this out. Nobody else is thinking this. And of course, people are going to argue, well, because they know it, because those moms went out there and drug him out to the curb by the flagpole and then looked at basketball scores and went to bed. Yeah, that makes sense. But the fact that she's so early on going on and frantic about all of this just doesn't make any logical sense to me either. The night before, she's freaking out, thinking he's sleeping with somebody else. And that's usually her big fear. Why is she not going to that? Why is it not all about him sleeping with somebody? We get one little mention of she's curious about the Bella's mom down the road. But that's it. The rest is she's afraid that he's dead in the snow or a snowplow hit him. If she saw him go into the house, which she's already testified to, why on earth would you think he's in the snow or a snowplow hit him?
Exactly. The whole thing makes no sense. If you really left your boyfriend at the party, mm-hmm. and remember, this is the other big point I want to bring up.
Yeah.
She said on Dateline, she watched him walk to the door, open it, and stick his head in. That is a quote from Karen Reed.
Mm-hmm.
If you thought that, where do you get then later that you hit him at all? Well, what I think could have happened in all those different recitations of she hit him, right?
Mm-hmm.
And why on scene would you be hitting him? And I say it's because that is all a lie, a fabrication, it's contrived. She never thought that. And that's why you're concerned. Your tail light's broken. And yeah. She knew. I mean, I know a lot of people say she was backed out drunk. She really doesn't know. She's still trying to figure it out. Some people say that, mm-hmm. think that. Some people think that these were suggestions made to her, which is absolutely ludicrous. Because as you point out, she was telling Carrie Reed at 5 a.m. he was dead.
Mm-hmm.
How would you get from, I go home from a party, I leave him there after a fight, and he's dead on the side of the road?
Exactly.
How does anyone go to that unless you know you hit him and he's likely laying there dead, or you drove back by?
And the story changes when she realizes that Jen McCabe saw her vehicle outside the house. That's a part that's kind of spooky to me, because that shows either another memory popped into her head at that moment, and she's like, oh shit, yeah, I was there. Or it was, oh shit, the story I've been concocting for the last several hours doesn't add up. And I can't go with that because they saw me there. Shit. And she's already kind of concocting this thing early on. Do you think she was concocting this that early on? Or do you think it was just the drunkenness and, oh, okay, now I do remember that part. And then maybe more of that came back to her. I don't know. That's kind of a weird area, and you're trying to get into someone's head.
For me, she concocted it after the voicemail messages,
mm-hmm.
when she realized he didn't come home again. Either she did a drive-by or everything's coming in mm-hmm. clear. I mean, we know from that pulse talk, from the toxicology regarding her blood alcohol, that she could have been, I believe, 2.9 something.
It's up there. I mean, it's like 2 point something. Yeah.
This is getting too lethal.
Yeah.
it's getting to, I mean, this is blackout drunk range. Now, remember, there was a range from, I think, 1.4 to the 2.9-ish, something like that. But, wow, that's just super drunk. And, you know, she's getting de-pickled throughout the night a little bit. And certainly things are going to be coming in clear. And obviously, to me, by 5 a.m., which is well before they found him, she knew in her mind he was dead because she said it.
Yeah. Yeah. An argument I'm surprised Karen Reed has not made, because when you look back at the toxicology and go, okay, here's the range that she would have been in at this hour, she should have argued that she kept drinking at home. She should have just said, I was stressed. I didn't know where John was. I had a couple more vodka tonics at home. And that's why my BAC was that level in the morning. It would make... It would make her look a little better in a bad situation, but not good.
And that's what Yannetti tried to do today with the toxicologist, or I should say the, you know, the forensic analyzer of the BAC.
Yeah.
He tried to say that, but you don't know what she drank. You don't. But the problem is Karen Reed herself never said that, to your point.
Yeah.
She says she went home, she went to bed, you know, she was worried. And so, you know, that's a big problem, because now they're just bringing this up. I think the other big problem is Yannetti early on, and I posted that clip. I don't know if you had a chance to see it, where Yannetti is arguing to the court, listen, this isn't manslaughter. This was just an accident. She loved this man and all of that. Remember, that was the initial posture, because they had talked about it, client to attorney, and said, she was freaking out, and she talks about it on ID. She specifically says, Yannetti, what happens if I did hit him? And Yannetti says, well, you could be in a lot of trouble. Mm-hmm. And then that's where the spin, that's where it all changes.
It is. It is. And because then she immediately goes from really contemplating seriously that she could have hit him. And then somehow she just turns. It's like, then suddenly that's when I know I didn't hit him. Why? Because you're going to be accountable, or because you didn't hit him? But it's like in the same sentence, this is her reasoning of like, well, I could be to blame, then I couldn't have done it. And she just speaks this aloud as if we're all going to keep playing the Karen Reed game with her. But in her mind, it makes total sense, because she can't be accountable for anything. I would love. Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, so sorry.
No, go ahead.
She says in that ID discovery, she says, I don't care whether it's one day in jail or years in jail. Quote, it's all the same to me. Mm-hmm. So we get to see how she feels about it. And for her, she feels like she can't do any time behind bars.
Yeah. It's going to be interesting to see where this plays out and what she eventually is, found guilty of, if she's found guilty of anything here. It just keeps getting weirder and darker, and you never know exactly where she's going to go. I would love to know. I would love to talk with someone about what life was like with Karen Reed, either as a colleague or a friend or whatever, because I'd like to know more about the pattern of behavior. It take it out to the context of this whole scene and just, you know, was she like this in other scenarios where she can never be wrong? I'm going to guess that's what you'd probably have a lot of people saying about her. But I don't know. I don't know the answer to that question, but it would further solidify and really back up this pattern of behavior that she seems to be following to a T in all of this.
Right. Yeah. People don't typically change to a large degree if they're like that.
Yeah.
I will tell you that in speaking with people who knew her through John, but loosely, you know, would see her at parties or things like that. They all said that initially they really liked her. Mm-hmm. One person told me a very interesting story. They said that, very personable, you know, funny, nice, seemingly great. And that she had commented about her sweater and said, boy, I really liked your sweater. And that within days, that woman bought her a $400 sweater, just like Reed had. In other words, bought the woman. And this is something that you see with these people who literally have so many issues is they buy or purchase mm-hmm. people's affection, and they get yep. you, you know, I call it like in Seinfeld, right? You get hand.
Yeah.
It gets hand over people.
Yeah. It's love bombing is what it is. And it doesn't always have to be in a romantic relationship type sense. It can be in a friendship sense like that, where I'm going to do grandiose gestures to really make you like me at first. And then once I've got you, then you start to see the true side of Karen Reed. And I think by 2 years, John O'Keefe was seeing it. And it was, you know, just the downhill from there. But I'm sure at the beginning it was lovely. And yeah, you're exactly right. That's interesting. That does show that pattern, that love bombing that these people do, because they can't maintain relationships for long term, because people eventually see through them. So they're always cycling through, and it just keeps going and going and going. And it seems that the only way that they know how to make true connections is by the grandiose gestures, because they lack empathy and they lack emotion and they lack the ability to understand other people's feelings. That's how narcissists typically act. I'm not saying she is, but again, she's following the playbook. And that explains that sort of behavior. And it explains all of this when you look at how this all started and where we are today. It's spooky. Well, we have a lot more to see in the trial of Karen Reed, and I'm sure we'll have a lot more to discuss next week on all of this. Jennifer Coffendaffer, thank you so much. Retired FBI special agent. Always good to get your insight on the world of Karen Reed.
Thank you, Tony.
Craving nonstop true crime updates? Press subscribe now and get the latest cases, analysis, and expert commentary delivered straight to your feed. Only from the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today. In a world where the darkest secrets lie just beneath the surface.
Well, they said it was an accident, but the evidence says otherwise.
Where hidden killers roam unnoticed in the shadows.
I think you would definitely be looking at a blend of toxic, very bad narcissistic personality traits, and they will be vengeful and possibly resort to violence.
Join Tony Bruschi as he uncovers the truth behind the most chilling cases.
They said it was an accident, but the evidence clearly says otherwise.
Each episode, we dig deep into the minds of those who commit the unthinkable.
To your point on narcissism, he thinks in his own mind how witty he is.
Yeah.
But he lost that jury. I was done with him in 2 minutes.
From unsolved mysteries to infamous crimes.
Geez, you've just talked about how you taught yourself how to do everything under the sun. I bet you did a YouTube video, how to best kill somebody with a knife.
Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi takes you where few dare to go.
How does someone with such a dark secret go unnoticed for so long?
With multiple new episodes every single day.
We're not just telling stories, we're seeking justice.
Listen now on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search for Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi.
Try a free sample of berry pie?
Oh yeah, I do. Wait, will this send me spiraling out of my routine?
Time to consult the online experts.
One bite will destroy your metabolism. Drink butter coffee instead to kill cravings.
What? Is it really that bad? I had protein this morning, right? Ugh, but it looks so good.
Only eat after walking 10,000 steps.
Pie is only 2 steps from here. Am I overthinking again?
Fruit ruins
never
insulin
eat after 7 p.m.
One cheat day.
Cut carbs.
Stop it! They don't know your body. Only you do. Cygnos pairs AI with a biosensor so you can track your body's unique responses to food, movement, and more in real time, helping you achieve your health goals. No fads, no fear, just your signal. Get $10 off select plans at Cygnos.com. That's Cygnos.com with code SPARK. Cygnos.